Okay, Rob, thank you so much, and good to be with you tonight again, and had a good conversation with Miss Lane out in Georgia, but she, it was more of a listening today than a talking, because she was concerned about her sister's son-in-law, so maybe they can get that worked out. Hopefully, through Lord Jesus Christ, they can certainly do that. And I just wanted to remind everybody that we did have another one there in that area down there in the edge of Georgia and Florida, on the Georgia line, that they were, must have been a fairly good-sized family down there, because they keep talking about these things. You getting it?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's turned the game up.
So, with that being said, we're going to get back into John 11, and we're going to get back in with Martha and Mary and Lazarus, and we're going to see a little of the humanity of our Lord Christ Jesus. May not get that far tonight, but we're going toward that, because, you know, last time when we had our study, we done it kindly with like kids in a car saying, are we there yet? Is this what we're here for? But, and the answer was to those things were no. So we didn't get that in verse 16, but everything down to 16 would have been no. And I wanted to restate that a little bit, but we'll pick up back with verse 12. And I think we did 12 and 13, and then we left off 14. But I want to go back to 12 of John 11. And it said, then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well, or shall be saved. Because they really didn't understand about the situation between asleep and dead. And, so it said he to his disciples, Lord, if he sleepeth, he shall do well. And I put in my notes, then the disciples, had not understood at the time that, either asleep or to be dead could either be one or the other. And, he asked to go back and work that out a little bit, but verse 13 was a parenthetical insertion to kind of fully answer that thing. And it says, so it says, how be it? Jesus spoke of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking a rest in sleep. So that kind of clears up the confusion there that one could have, so the insertion was put in there to show us and everybody behind us back to where this was written that, it would sound like, in essence, that they didn't fully understand it at that, but we're getting to that point. So I'm going to say again, not yet. Because it's like kids asking the question, are we there yet? No, we're not there yet. Now let's go on down to our study, and our study starts in verse 14. And 14 says, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. So now we're beginning to get to the end of that conversation.
Now they realize he ain't doing so well.
No, he is not there. and anymore in the way he was. He has passed on. I put in my notes, at that point said Jesus unto them plainly. And so there was not the, excuse me for a minute, I had to sneeze. Lazarus is dead, and John 10:24 carried that out. You can go back to John, or we haven't got down to that yet. So there you go. So he hasn't got down to the point that yet where the notes were in the companion Bible. So we're about 10 verses away from that right now. So this says that death has taken place sometime before, probably soon after the message was sent by the sisters in verse 3. We had, because in verse 3 they said, we sent to Jesus asked for him to come on down, because they were preparing him for death, I think, at that time. Because, you know, Mary was the one that was putting the ointment on and washing him, and she probably couldn't get him up. And it says she was drying his body with her hair. And so that would be a common denominator on fixing somebody for one was fixing to lose his life and didn't have any self help to go there. And so that gets pretty plain in that sense. But yet the note says, you know, you gotta go forward instead of backwards in there, and that's kind of unusual, but sometimes it happens that way. So and probably soon after the message was sent by the sisters in verse 3. And so we'll get down to 15, because some of this stuff now, we're about to see that this has happened, and Jesus has stayed there, and he's waiting on the fourth day is what he's waiting on. And he understands that this is going to be fully understood by anyone, that this guy's got to be declared to be dead. He's not maybe out of it and still around, but he's not that way. And so verse 15 says, and I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent that you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. So he says, okay, now's the time to go. So we're going to go back to where Mary and Martha were and where Lazarus were. I don't know if they're in the same house or not, but they are pretty near to each other if they're not in the same building. So. This is at 150, Roman numeral 1 and number 1 and the little dot with I, that you may believe. So there's a app in 150 that probably would be good for you to read, in 15, but we won't do it for tonight, but and there's several of them in here, but I wanted to get a few more verses in tonight than I've been getting, because we ain't been getting very far with it. And then we get down to verse 16, and I kind of grin every time I C. Dowling Thomas, you know, he's one that I don't know what he believed, but he made a name for himself by, having all kinds of doubts or pulling different social situations out to get it. And so Thomas said this, then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us also go that we may die with him. Well, he said we were there and we all left because they were gathering stones to cast them at the Lord, but they never did because they couldn't do it because it wasn't the time. But Thomas evidently didn't see it quite that way. And so he said, well, where are we going to go back? You know, are we going to go back to die with him? That pretty much is basic thing, but there was a pretty good thing going on in the companion side. And it talks about, Thomas here, and it talks about chapter 20, 24, and 21 and 2. So it still goes forward here because you can't get all the answers unless you kind of see and understand what is happening here, because what's happening is still on down the road this little place. Because they're not there yet. They're on their way, but they're not where Martha and Mary are. Okay. Let us also go that we may die with him. With not Jesus, but with Lazarus. That we may die with Lazarus. But, you know, by going back there, it might have been deeper than that, and Thomas might have seen and understood that.
So, I think the note says that's the other way around, Ed.
Okay.
Yeah. That he went die with the Lord, not with Lazarus. Thomas realized that to return to the neighborhood of Jerusalem was certain death.
Yeah.
They were looking for the Lord.
Thomas realized to return to the neighborhood of Jerusalem meant certain death.
Yeah.
Poor Thomas, he really didn't need.
He earned his name.
He needed this life more than the rest did. I had to put that note in there because, you know, we just got done a time or two back where it was talking about a man walking in the dark. He was going to stumble, and the man walking in the light, maybe not. So, but I think Thomas was a little more pointed on that position than maybe some of the other things that he had done down the road. And it's a funny thing. So we finally get to where Jesus comes to the area. He's back in the area now. It said, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave for 4 days already. So this is the reason for the holdup here, because he wanted to make certain, and he wanted those that were going to be there to know that this was no 3 day getting somebody up out of a bad situation, but they were still alive. But he's dead this time. So
graveyard dead.
Yeah, that's what we call it around here. Said, now when Jesus came, Jesus found that he had been laying in the grave, the tomb, the Menerion, I believe is what it is, or a memorial or monument, then a sepulcher, And this is usually the way it's done, and it mentions back to John 5, verse 28. And so it also made a note to say this is what the unbelievers knew only to do, or to understand that the dead was truly dead. They would, when all this was done and said, all the trappings were there for a dead man. He had been dressed and anointed by his sister, and he had been laying in the tomb or the grave, and I don't know if the sepulcher had been there for a family deal, and it probably was. And so there could have been there a memorial or a monument, then a sepulcher. It kind of fits in line with the way they did things. And so I kind of got the understanding, and there's another parenthetical insertion in the next verse, that sometimes if you don't get enough understanding, that these insertions are wonderful. In 18, let me read 18. It said, now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and it was about a mile and three quarter our distance. About a mile and three quarters. So they're close back to where, you know, whenever things were getting pretty rough was between Jesus and the Pharisee.
He could have walked there in time.
Yeah. So, you know, that any of them could have showed up at any time again, which probably they probably did. I don't know. So Bethany was nigh or near unto Jerusalem. It is called a sister city there because you got Jerusalem and you got, above Jerusalem on up to the top of the mountain, you had the temple. And between Jerusalem and the temple, we found out when we were dealing with Paul in his journeys with them and them wanting to kill him back in John, that there was a pretty big place there that could hold as many as 1,000 people because they needed a place like this to house these people that were guarding the temple. And they weren't Jews. They were
Romans.
They were Italians, I guess.
Romans.
They were Romans. And they kept, because evidently people kept coming and wanting to break into the temple and get the gold from the things that were in the temple that God had prescribed that they build to go into the temple. So, you know, that's they was thinking that was easy pickings. It might have been, it might not have been. And that's what these people first thought that Paul was involved with, that he might have been some of that crowd that had been there before and had come back to case it out, you know. And that's when they got him up on the steps of this castle they call. So evidently it was pretty well, taken up. The space was pretty well taken up with people or buildings or something there. So they didn't have a long distance to go. So a sister city would be probably a good word, about 15 furlong, or this would equal to our 1 3/4 miles. So that gives us a kind of an idea of what that was. So, and it says in verse 19, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary and counseled them concerning their brother. So You know, this is just like a lot of times in our day, we have someone in our family or somebody, a close friend or something, and, or somebody that we went to church with or whatever, school or whatever, and they show up and bring food and do all this stuff. And so many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary. And I put a note in here that said, note the elder and the younger, because it was to Martha first and then to Mary second, because, you know, Mary was doing the household type stuff. So she would probably be meeting and greeting, and Martha could have been, you know, acting as the mother of the family, basically, or the elder of the family at that. And, they had come to comfort. And in the Greek, the comfort there is parabuthiomai, to speak tenderly or consoling. And it said used only here. I guess it's the word tender was used only here. And it said verse 31 of 1 Thessalonians. Oh, and it's used again in verse 31 in John. And then 1 Thessalonians 2:11 and 5:14. And it says, this is something like unto addressing a wayward child in a sense. It's like, they were comforted and
giving advice,
making advice and talk that's, comforting to both of these ladies here, which would be a normal thing to do. And, you don't go in giving advice, doing all this stuff, cause they, evidently they've already done what they were supposed to do at this point. But they were very sorrowful that Jesus didn't get there on time. And it becomes pretty, telling that it got to Jesus, but he wanted it to be this way, or felt that it must be this way in order to show them the power of God at work in this situation.
Yep. All for a reason.
You know, because there's not going to be a question now when Jesus goes to the tomb, because then it's going to be real. And so this has given us the situation coming up to that point. So we're still not quite there yet, but it was better than the first 16 verses because, you know, there was just a lot of information that had to be put forth. Or felt to be put forth that we have through the companion Bible. And, I don't know how it would sound if you had another Bible and you didn't have these notes to go with it. It gives you so much extra understanding that, you don't have to conjure up in your mind what it might have been like, but it's kind of gives it, I think, as it was. Then we get to verse 20. And it says, then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming. So somebody, they had a runner, evidently. And I've just said, you couldn't really tell, but here you are. heard that Jesus was coming. So how could she have known if they wasn't somebody coming down the road that already
saw him? Yeah.
Saw. And had,
he was that well known, I think, at that time.
Yeah.
We're getting toward the, end of the miracles here. Yeah. He's already done enough to where everybody knows who he is.
Oh, yeah. So she went and met him. So she was not in her, abode or not in where she was, her and Mary together when, she met him. And that's full stop because that was a point that was put there to draw out the reason for a full stop. The word implies desire to avoid notice. So she left her house desiring not to be noticed to go meet Jesus by herself or meet Jesus without the crowd. Because she was going to tell him what she thought about the time lag. And so to avoid a time lag, you know, you got to know the rest of the story here. But it said, but Mary sat still in the house. She did not get up and go. It was the job of the elder of that house to go and meet the Lord. Because that was salvation coming. Not yet, but it will be salvation because Christ has not given his, he's not been to the cross yet. So, and still sat, Mary still sat in the house and, it said 17 could be the authorized version of the, revised version. It implies without warmth that Mary heard as well as Martha, but nevertheless remained where she still was. She didn't get up to make it look like she was trying to take over. She was leaving that to Martha. She did not do that. Bless her heart. And I read that and I thought about it and I said, well, you know, there's a lot of people even in death don't care how it looks or what it seems like. And, but this wasn't the problem. These two women were believers. They knew, you know, that, there was a chance here to get their brother back. But it might be in resurrection. Well, it was, but it was not in the resurrection. It was in a resurrection.
Yeah.
So Mary, remained where she was. She didn't want to impose in on the Father's business, it says in the notes. Well, the Father's business was to have everything working to where everybody could understand that this man was dead. But somewhere in this story, he's going to be raised again from the dead. That's the Father's business. That's the reason where all this is being told to us, because resurrection of the dead is not something that comes along every day. Now, they can be people that just died while they're trying to get them ready for burial or something, and somebody comes in, prays for them, they stand up again in life. Well, that's kind of like going to sleep for a little while. That's, but this man's been dead 4 days. So Here it is. He did. She didn't want to impose there. Verse 21 and 22 goes together when you go to look at it. And so this is what the conversation between Martha and Jesus. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Well, there's nothing in the companion Bible that goes that. That nothing else has to be said here.
Yeah.
This verse.
She knew that he could have healed him.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Well, that's the whole object of this part. And then verse 22. It ties into the same thing. My brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask, God, and it means it's kind of like we're saying a prayer, because God was the Father, but Jesus here has the ability to do what the Father. They're the one now. Both of them are as one, although Jesus has not went to the cross and done what he come to do. But so it was used kind of like we would say a prayer like they did in Matthew 7:7. Yeah. It says, never of the Lord's address to the Father, neither Martha, the disciples, or the Jews understood the claim of John 10:30, I and my Father are one. So whether you're talking to the Father, it can be the Father or it can be the Son. It doesn't matter. But the two are one. They're intertwined. It's like you put your fingers together and it's either or. And that's kind of like Ronnie spoke when we were talking one day about maybe, and when Christ appears. And we have a mate that has died, and we're both believers, that God can look at that and see the two of us as one, because we had made the vow before man and before God. It don't matter if God's presence may not be seen there, but it's there because he always knows that we have lived our life as one, not as one here and one there. So if him and the Father is one, and as the way they have constructed and made this world and made this stuff in this world, I'm thinking Ron is pretty well on course with his idea about that. If we're in the body of Christ, we're there as one rather than male and a female. That's no longer important.
No gender.
In the sense of the world, because it's we're not going to be flesh and blood. We're going to be spirit in that sense. And so, I think I went on with 22 and continued that. And it said, God will give it. God will give it the power. God will give it there at that place because he has the power already to raise Lazarus from the dead. He just hasn't done it yet. And there's a reason for that too. So you see, 21 and 22 goes together. So 21, Moses said, well, you'd have been here. He wouldn't have died. Well, that's not what we're after here. We're after somebody that could overcome death by the words of the Son of God, just like the Father could have done. And all this hanging back and not being in a hurry to get there was necessary. And Christ knew that. He knew it in his heart at this time. He knew that. But yet, he is now starting in verse 23. He's going to show up a little bit of his humanity. Because before he was put in the womb of Mary, he had all this power and all this stuff going on. Well, these people are not believing it because they just can't. They don't see it. But here he is making the point. And so he's bringing himself back down to God's man now, not God's son, but God's man. And it said, and Jesus said unto her, sorry about that, thy brother shall rise again. And that Greek word is anatissimai. And that's Appendix 178, Romans number 1, number 1. And there's a lot of good stuff from 178 to 192, 3. In the Companion Bible. If you haven't been there in a while, I'd suggest that we all get back in there once a week if we get the chance. And then verse 24, Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection. And this again is Appendix 178. Now it's Roman numeral 2 and number 1. So all this is going on about rising, you know, about coming forth from the grave. At the last day. And that there at in 25, is the word en and not the word ien in the Greek. And you can find that in Appendix 104, Roman numeral 8. So 25 and 26 get it together. Because it said, and Jesus said unto her, I am, and I want everybody to hear this and understand that. Christ Jesus said before he gave his breath and his blood on the cross, I am the resurrection and the life. Is there anything else anybody should want to know? Because he is resurrection and he is life. If you're going to have any life, you have to be connected to the Son of God who went to the cross and paid the price for you in order that you can have it.
Amen.
What in the world does a man need?
Yep.
But people do. Over and over and over again. They're going to say, well, it's like the old country song. I want to go to heaven, but I don't want to go tonight. Well, you can't pick and choose your time.
No.
That's not yours to pick and choose. That is the resurrection and the life person that does that. Okay? He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This declaration concerns Christ himself. It is his promise. And it is his promise to mankind. Not only to the Jews, but to all. He's going to do it for all that will believe and receive this redemption that he has bought and paid for with his life. I wanted to get at least to this point. But that's just one verse. Let's go to the next verse. 26. And whosoever is alive or liveth, anybody that's living, and believeth in me, he'll never die. Well, there's going to be those that are living when Jesus appears for us. And they're not going to ever have to die, but they're going to have to be changed.
Well, and there were, where he says, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Lazarus believed in him, yet he died in the, yeah. in the flesh. I believe the shall never die, if I'm not mistaken, should be translated shall in no wise die forever.
Okay.
That you don't stay dead. That's the point.
That's
right. I could be wrong. I'm not looking at the notes.
Yeah, well. It talks about 1 Thessalonians 4:17. Well, that's a whole different ballgame out there. Okay. And then it talks about at 151 again, Roman numeral 2, A, II, 4B. So that's a pretty long one there on 150. And, carries, then he says, believest thou this? And, I put in my notes, this quote from verse 25 to 26. So you got to look at both verses together to see and get the gist of this, because it was a little more than evidently, it's a lot more than a lot of people can understand and get down at one time. Now, this is still Martha here. It says, she said unto him, yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Messiah. This is important too. F 98. IX 9, the Son of God, which shall come or should come into the world or unto the world. And that's out 98 XV 15. And this is from Peter's confession that we have in Matthew 16:16. Because when Peter was asked the questions, he said, yes, you are the Son of God. And it said, and when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary her sister secretly, saying secretly, the Master is come and calling for thee. And the calling there is the Greek word didaskalos. Didaskalos. Appendix 98:14. And as soon as she heard that, Mary, we're talking about Mary now, she arose quickly and came unto him. That's verse 29. And there's nothing to go with that because it's pretty cut and dry. It says, now Jesus was not yet come to the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. So they were outside of the normal group that had come to be of comfort and some hope and all this. And so they were away from them when all this took place. So we can see from this that yeah, there was a need and a reason for these things being that way. So they had kind of got to a point to where they were getting back on the humanity side of God with this situation. It said, the Jesus then which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw, and that saw there is the word Adon, appendix 133, Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out and followed her, saying, she goeth to the grave to weep there. And then, verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, and she fell down, and there's a list of people at his feet, and there is a list of people here that have done the same thing with Jesus before he goes to the cross. They were the wise men, Matthew 2:11, Jairus in Mark 5:22, the woman in Mark 5:33, the Syrophoenician in Mark 7:23, Peter in Luke 6:8, the leper in Luke 5:12, and Gadarene in Luke 8:28, and the Samaritan in Luke 17:16, and this makes 10 in all.
Nine in all.
Huh?
Made 9 in all.
Plus Mary.
That's an appendix.
Count Mary.
Yeah, it was 9.
Okay.
According to the note.
Out 10, they're talking about the ones that were coming and fell back at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So last of all, Mary. And, I got just another minute or two, and it said, then Jesus, therefore, because of his humanity, saw her weeping, and the Jesus also weeping, which came with her, he groaned, and groaned there in the Greek is embrim eromea. And it means to snort as a horse does from fear or anger. Hence, the feel of strong emotion became indignant. And it's an anger or sorrow, especially at something unjust or mean actions in the spirit. And in the spirit there is out, I believe it's 107, Roman numeral 2-9, and was troubled. He was troubled and said, to where have you laid him? And they said unto the Lord, come and see. And see was an important word there, because for him to see Jesus dead was something that wasn't normally done in a just a so-so fashion, because they had great rules about the dead and how you handle the dead. It says in verse 35, we'll quit. It said Jesus wept or shed tears. And so in his humanity and in his great respect for his friend, that word is in the Greek is dakrud. And that's the noun. And dakru occurs 11 times in the scripture. 11 times, these always translated by the plural of the word tears. And he came to tears.
That's a rough scene. I remember in the series, The Chosen, when they show this, it's rough to watch. I mean, it'll put you to wanting to cry too, right?
Well,
along with them.
Here.
They did a really good job with it.
Think about this. Now all this started here, the prologue to all this was that Jesus bowed down on the ground himself and spat on the dirt and made clay and rubbed in that guy's eyes and told him to go to the pool and wash.
Yeah.
Okay. That was part of liquid from what we would say to be the father of this universe. With that liquid in that man's eyes, now he is shedding tears from his eyes for this one that doesn't have life anymore.
Yeah.
And just think of the back and forth situation there that we could see and understand. Well, if he could use the spit and heal somebody that had never seen whatever he does, and whatever will be done, it will take place, and it won't be a problem for anybody. Should be able to sit there at any time.
Yeah.
So, I thought that was a real good place. I thought maybe I wouldn't get there, but I guess I did. So, we'll stop at Jesus. Well, that's one. I think it's the shortest verse in the
Bible. Yeah.
So, I'll stop with that. And we will pick it up the next time and go on, because there's still more information. We haven't got him alive yet, so we have to go back to at least till we get him alive.
Yeah, God can do it though.
So this is what the build up is to the whole story, so that those who would not believe or didn't want to believe could see this and make up for themselves where they wanted to get involved in it or not. Because that's what God gave them a mind to do. They could make up their own mind. But he has plainly said already, if you don't have this connection with me,
I am the resurrection and the life.
Yeah, yeah. Then I don't know where you can go for hope.
Yeah, amen.
So take that. It might help you to explain to somebody else sometimes the ins and outs of all this, but it's very important that the story be told in a way that people can understand it. And he was certainly doing everything in the world to do that,
yes,
to get it out. So God bless.